Well, yes, indeed, we say amen, that we are blessed this morning that the Nambus are here with us. Jonathan and Thelma and Katrinka, they come to us by way of the Philippines, where they live, where they minister in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, they minister to those who many of the world sees as the least of these. And yet, in truth, they are princesses in the kingdom of God, created in the image of our Savior, who have been horribly traumatized and abused and suffered. And Jonathan and Thelma go into those who have been trafficked, and they bring the love of Jesus Christ to them. They bring the love of the Father. They go and they show these women and their families who Jesus is, and not just with words, but they put their life on the line every day, living for Christ with such a beautiful incarnational ministry in Jesus' name. And so we are so blessed to have you all here. Thank you. Thank you for coming. And Jonathan is going to bring us the Word of God this morning. So let's please welcome our brother. Thank you.
Good morning. First of all, I'd like to bring you all greetings from Manila. I don't want to make you jealous, but when we left Manila, it was, I think, it was kind of chilly in the upper 80s. So when we left the terminal at Logan, when we got here, something just hit us. But we bring you greetings from Samaritana, the ministry that God has entrusted to us, and the staff team there, and the women and their families that we're blessed to be a part of. We also want to say a word of deep thanks for your kind prayers and generous support. That really, really means so much to us. Thank you. And I'll say a word about why we're here. We decided, I think, around October that we would make this trip. It's a short trip, just 3 weeks. In fact, we fly back tomorrow night. But we came primarily to see my dad. And it's an encouragement to see his name still listed among the shut-ins in your bulletin. I appreciate your prayers for him. He continues to decline and weaken physically and cognitively. And so it's a challenging time for him and for my brother and I and our families. But it was definitely the right decision for us to come and be with him over Christmas and be able to spend moments with him each day. So we're blessed and grateful that we were able to do that. And icing on the cake, of course, to be with you all this morning. So thank you. What's new? What's new? This is the fifth day of this year? Yeah? So we're into the first days of a new year. And so my question to you this morning is, what's new? In fact, I don't know if you if this is something that you do often here at First Baptist, but I'd like to invite you to gather in either the person beside you or maybe a few people in a little huddle and talk for a couple of minutes, four or five minutes, about what is new in your life that you notice, that you're aware of that wasn't there 6 days ago? No? That's exciting and hopeful. And I imagine that all of you, all of us, aside from whatever we may notice now, that we could say, that wasn't there 6 days ago, or last month, or 6 months ago. There are also still a lot of things that you may not have shared in your groups that we long for, we wait for, we hope for, we cry out to the Lord for. Because there's so much in our world and in our lives that still needs to change, isn't it? Well, every end of the year, right around December 30 or 31, and sometimes seeping into January 1, it's very common for many of us and people all around the world to make what we call resolutions. You know? So we tell ourselves, starting tomorrow, I'm cutting back on sweets. In 6 months, I want to have my blood sugar down. Or I want to have more exercise. Or I want to set aside more money every month. Or I want to be kinder, stop for the person who needs help along the way. We make a lot of promises. Raise your hand if you've made a resolution in the past. No? Keep it raised if you haven't kept that resolution. Okay, so we all know what happens with New Year resolutions. These are often self-improvement projects that they're coming from a good intention, a sincere desire. But, you know, after day 3, day 4, week 7, the passion and the commitment often grows cold. I was visiting my dad just this past week and was going up the elevator, and a gentleman came in with a rollator, and I greeted him, "Happy New Year." And he said, "We're starting all over again." And there's something about the look in his eye and the tone of his voice that I thought he's a little bit... I wasn't quite sure if it was sarcastic or just weary. You know, here we are, we're starting all over again. There wasn't any life or anticipation. It was just kind of like, I'm still on the treadmill or the little mouse wheel in the hamster cage. And Ecclesiastes kind of gives us that feeling too, that there's nothing new. Things don't really change. New Year's come and New Year's go. Resolutions are made and resolutions are broken. And nothing really changes. It's meaningless. But there is so much that we know needs to change. Whether it's far away around the world, down the street, or in the corners of my heart, there's so much that needs deep change. And how do we really become people who are change makers or agents of change. How do we do that? Well, first I'd like to suggest a difference between two postures that we can have. And one is what I'll call willfulness. And the other is what I'll call willingness. So we all know what willful is, full of will. That usually comes out when someone's around 2 years old. What we lovingly refer to as the terrible twos. You know, the will of a two-year-old starts to emerge and it is an immovable force. You tell them, stop climbing, they climb higher. You tell them, get out of that, they get in deeper. And that's when they begin to learn the word no. So, willful. Willful is exerting the self. Willful is kind of battening down and digging heels in and sticking to it. Okay? Now, a lot of us actually are in the terrible twos, but we're trapped in adult bodies. Because many of us, probably all of us, struggle with having a willful heart. Willingness is very different. Willingness is open, vulnerable, ready, receptive, and trusting. Two images of willingness that I like from the New Testament are Mary saying to the angel Gabriel after she was told she was going to become pregnant with Jesus. She says, "Be it unto me as you have said." She said, you know, she's basically saying, "Amen. Let it happen. Bring it on. I am willing." Jesus also says similar words in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, I really don't want this, Father. If you could take it away from me, I would prefer that. But not what I will, but what you will. So, very different picture from the terrible twos. So there's willful and there's willing. And of course, all of us have a will. That's part of who we are as humans. But the struggle for us is not to exert it in demanding ways, and in ways in where we think that we can do it on our own. So I would offer that we are invited by God when we see that change needs to happen. A lot of times our first reaction is jump in and do it. Now, there are times when action is called for, certainly. But I would offer to you that we need to also struggle to create a heart, or to make space in our heart for a willingness. That's actually often harder than jumping in and doing something. Another thing that I want to say before I share the verse that I will share is all of us have what I'll call an outer landscape and an inner landscape. Our outer landscape is what's happening around us. And often, there's not a lot we can do at the end of the day about what's happening around us. In fact, there's one author named Margaret Silf who says that that is the where you are. And a lot of that we have no control over. The family we're born into, the culture we're born into, our particular strengths and liabilities physically, our giftedness and our handicaps. Those are things that all of us have been graced by God, and there's not a lot we can do about changing those. Those are our outer landscape. You know, we can tweak things a little bit here and there, but that is the where we are. But all of us also have an inner landscape, and Margaret Silf calls that our who we are, or how we are. Okay, that's our thoughts, our feelings and emotions, our reactions, and the movements inside of us that motivate us. And those we have a little bit more control over in terms of how of changing it. But we have to look at change and transformation and new things happening both outside of us and inside of us. We have to attend to both. We clean out the inside of the cup, as Jesus told the Pharisees. But we also do justice and seek mercy and seek the kingdom of God. So it's interior and exterior. It's inward and outward. Now, that was kind of leading up to what I'd like to share this morning, and that is the words from Revelation chapter 21, verse 5. And this was this is the prophetic, apocalyptic vision given to John. And it's the context in chapter 21 is talking about the new heaven and the new earth. And in verse 5, we read, "He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.'" I am making everything new. Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." It's sure to happen. It is sure as the sun rises in the morning. I am making everything new. Now, the context of the verse, as I said, is God referring to the new heavens and the new earth. But the certainty of God's transformative action is also around us and in us as the kingdom of God grows in our hearts and in our midst as a people of God and even in the world. God's hand brings change that we experience socially and personally. Indeed, God is making everything new. But sometimes it doesn't feel like that. Sometimes it feels like Ecclesiastes. Sometimes change just takes too long. If you're like me, there have been things that you wanted to change, you prayed for them to change, you waited for them to change, and you waited, and you waited, and you waited, and you may still be waiting, and it hasn't changed yet. It might be a health condition, it might be a relationship issue, it might be any number of things. But a lot of times, change just takes a lot of time. More time than we would like. Then again, sometimes change is deceptive. Deceptively hidden. We may feel like nothing is changing. It may seem like nothing is being birthed new or emerging fresh. There are times that we do not perceive the thing that God is doing. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 43, verses 18 and 19 says, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" A lot of times, it was great earlier when I asked you to share about what new things you see and feel. But a lot of times, there are new things happening that we aren't attentive to. We aren't aware of. We don't notice with thanksgiving in our hearts. So sometimes we do not see, perceive, appreciate, and celebrate the change that really is happening. And honestly, there are also times when it seems like the change we long for and pray for and hope for just hasn't yet come. We pray for healing and wholeness of body, mind, and spirit. And we continue to be sick and confused and depressed. We pray and hope for improved relationships. But the other people aren't willing. Not us. We wish for a better future. But the odds are still stacked against us, like Paul's thorn in the flesh. You know, he prayed and prayed and prayed, and God just didn't take it away. We even long to live more faithfully as we follow Jesus. But we may find that, like Paul, I still do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the thing that I want to do. So change is often slow and gradual. Sometimes it's imperceptible, hard to see. And sometimes it just doesn't seem to be coming. And yet, I am making everything new. When change is slow, when we can't see change, or when change hasn't happened yet, this year, 2020, God invites us to keep trusting and be faithful. I've heard more and more emphasis recently about being change makers, you know, around the world. Even this, the young girl from Sweden, who's speaking out at the UN and to world leaders about her advocacy on climate change, is kind of become an icon. And there's a lot of emphasis on being change makers in the world. Well, truth be told, all of us as followers of Jesus are also called to be change makers. But because, and there's a lot that needs to change. There's a lot in our world that needs to change. You know, the news just this weekend of what's happening in Iraq and Iran. So we live in a time that the world feels increasingly chaotic and divided and unsafe. And how do we live as a change maker, an agent of change, to be the hands and feet that bring something new to the world? It must first begin in our inner landscape. God needs to continue to bring new things inside of me, to bring renewal, to bring change, and to bring that new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old has gone, the new is coming. And it's the language there is something that it's ongoing. So the new creation part of us, it happened and it continues to happen. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation and we're continuing to be remade and renewed and overhauled and reborn in new ways every day. That's where the change has to begin, in me, in you, this year. But it doesn't end there. God also changes us so that we become agents of change. Agents of change in our home, agents of change here at church, agents of change as we go to the store, agents of change with the people beside us, next door, in our extended families. The important thing to remember is we need to be willing, because ultimately, God says, I am making everything new. I was thinking last night, if I were to substitute I am with all caps, I am, you know, God said, I am who I am. I am. So it's really about God making change. And we cooperate willingly to allow the change to happen deep inside of us and continue to happen deep inside of us. And then to also cooperate with God as we help bring new things and new change to our world. This is our mission, and this is also our hope for 2020. As we move into the year, may we all continue to experience the deep, ongoing newness in our hearts, in our inner landscape, that's creating something new deep within us that just seeps out and flows over into our relationships and into our world. And 2020 can be different. It will be different. May you all have the grace to be a part of that difference this year. Amen.